Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Look at verse 20 again. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Have you ever considered, think about this now, have you ever considered how different the Christian life is compared to all others?
Right.
Have you ever considered that? Now, some of you got saved, you received Christ at a younger life, so you didn't know the dregs of this old world like some of us did. And maybe you've never considered that. And then maybe some of you got saved later on in life from a sinful life, but you've never really sat down and considered how different this new and living way is compared to the old way. I mean, there's so much difference. Even in this passage of Scripture, he says we can enter into the holiest. That means the throne room of God by the blood of Jesus. That means that we have been consecrated or made holy and special through his death, his flesh, it says. That's his death. And we can draw near, he says, with a true heart. We don't have to make this stuff up. We can draw near to God with a true heart.
Amen.
And not only that, having full assurance that the one that saves us keeps us.
Amen.
Having that full assurance. As believers in this new and living way, we should have no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the penalty of our sin. And we can go boldly to the throne of grace, taking our wants and our petitions, because now we're living in a different way than the world lives and the lost live. And he reminds us that in verse 22, he says, and having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the water of the word. Now, the world hadn't had that. The world doesn't have any of that. They have no assurance. They have no faith. They have no washing. They have no allowance into the presence of God. They have none of that. And boy, what would be jumping puke? What would be the happiest people in the world? And 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We've been born again. I mean, that's a new way for me. That's a new and living way. I was living in death. Now I'm living in eternal life. That's a new and living way for everybody. Son, you just got to living. You just started living the other week. Some of us didn't start living till we were in our 20s or 30s. Some of you more than that. Now, thank God those of you that got saved early in life and you started living. And we don't know anything about, we didn't know anything about that until we got to wasted so much of our life till we got to the point where we are now. Amen?
Amen.
So I want to talk to you for just a little bit about a new and living way and how that is different from the old dead way. Ephesians 1, ye who were dead in trespasses and sin, hath he quickened. He made us alive. So therefore, I want to do just a little bit about just three things. And then next Sunday night, I'm going to give you three things more. And the next Sunday night, I'm going to give you three things more. And so tonight, some real simple preaching. All right? Philippians 4:11. Most of you already know it. Philippians 4:11. Here's one way that our new way should be better than our old way. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to wait on you. We're not in a hurry tonight. 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, he said, I'm not trying to get anything. Not that I speak in respect of want. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Amen. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. The one thing that really jumps out at me tonight about the new and the living way compared to the old dead way is contentment.
Yes.
I'm content.
Yes.
I'm content. In whatever state I am, I can be content. I can still say all things work together for the good of them that love God, no matter what state I'm in.
That's right.
That's when I'm feeling good and when I'm feeling bad, I can still be content. Amen?
Amen.
That's when I'm rich or I'm poor, I can still be content. And by the way, we'll not steal that from the young Christians.
Right. Come on, man.
Well, to let them learn what wants and needs and the difference of them in those are. And sometimes they ought to have some needs that only God can fill. We'll not rescue them all the time. Because that way they'll figure out, I don't need mama, I don't need daddy, grandma, grandpa. I need God.
Amen.
To make me content.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes. Sister Mary, you remember when you was poor, but you knew the Lord, and you didn't worry about being poor. And then a lot of people, some of you, maybe you've been rich. I don't know if any of you ever have been, but if you have, you'll let the rest of us know. I don't know. But compared to what we used to be, we're rich.
Yes.
Most of us come from places where we were not rich, and now I'm rich. I get to go, went shoe shopping yesterday. I hate shoe shopping. I'm content when I'm shoe shopping that I'm going to heaven, but I hate shoe shopping. Anyway, we still didn't find me nothing. We looked in about 4 different places, didn't find anything. All of it was junk. But anyway, I remember when I didn't have but one pair of shoes. Yeah. I remember when we, once a year, Mama would take us to the Sears and Roebuck catalog store. Not the store, the catalog store. Where they had stuff on the shelves that you could pick out, and if it wasn't on shelves, you could get in the catalog and find it, and then they'd order it for you. A couple weeks later, it'd show up. And once a year, before we went to school, Mama would take us to the Sears catalog store down there on Meeting Street, and she'd pick out 3 pair of pants, 3 shirts, and 1 pair of shoes for us to start school in. Now, we didn't like that because we hadn't worn shoes in months. We didn't want to wear shoes. We wasn't like these little soft kids now. We hated it. I didn't start wearing shoes regular until after I got married and had children of my own. I'm telling you the truth. We didn't know teenagers that wore shoes. Teenagers didn't wear shoes back then. But she'd do that. And now I think about that, those 3 little pair of pants, those 3 little shirts, that 1 pair of shoes, and that had to last me all school year. And now I go to my closet and I stand there confused and confounded because I cannot decide what to wear. I got so much to wear. Amen. How would we feel if we got that back down to 1 suit or 1 pair of shoes? Amen. So, Philippians means contentment, but not self-satisfied. Now I'm content with the way God's done in my life. But I'm not self-satisfied. I don't take the credit for any of it.
Amen.
And I'm not ready to quit growing. I'm not ready to quit changing. I am content in the state that I'm in. I'm saved. I'm not the smartest Christian in town, but I'm working on it. I'm not the best husband, but I'm working on it. I'm not the best father or grandfather, but I'm working on it. I'm not the best pastor, not even the best friend, but I pray about it and I work on it, and I'm content with what God's bringing me through and what He's already brought me through. Now, I'm not self-satisfied. I don't take the credit for any of it. But I'm Christ-satisfied. I'm not looking for anything outside of Him. Nothing. Nothing. People come, they say, you hear about that preacher on television, man? You got, no, I don't need your preacher on television. I've got Christ.
Amen.
Are y'all hot?
Yes.
Let's see, 69. It's on cool. I'm content. Hey man, y'all need to get right. Hey man, listen, I'm satisfied with what Christ gives me, what He's done for me. I'm not wanting what you have.
Amen.
I don't need it. There are so many Christians who are covetous and greedy, and they want what everybody else has got. I saw a bumper sticker one day, one of the most, I said idiot today, and I know that's not very educated, but everybody seemed to like it. So I'll say one of the stupidest bumper stickers I ever seen. On one of these big trucks, you know, about that high off the ground, you know. And had this big old bumper sticker on it. It says, the one that dies with the most toys wins. I thought, no, I know a lot of people that's got a bunch of toys that ain't going to die happy.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
What you ought to be, hey, I got a 1990 Mazda pickup. I fill it up with oil and check the gas, and I can go anywhere in that thing. Amen? People tell me, why don't you get another truck? I said, that one takes the trash off fine. Why do I need another truck? Amen. But I'm not covetous of what you got. Jeffrey's got a big old truck. I mean, he's got the super duper truck, you know. Some of you got big truck. Ron's got a little smaller, bigger than mine, but a fancy truck. He's got him a fancy truck, one of those car trucks. I call it Crux. It's a four-door. I call them crooks, car truck. But praise God. I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
I hope you get a bigger house. I hope you get a bigger car. I hope you get a raise. Praise God. I'm happy for you. But leave me alone. I'm content with what He's doing for me. Hey, I'm not greedy for anybody's stuff.
Amen.
Amen. So I look. There's bigger churches all over this town, bigger buildings. I wouldn't say they were bigger churches. They're bigger buildings. Y'all got the red light on over here? Oh, okay. I can see you under that hat. But there's bigger churches. But you know what? I wouldn't trade this little old church full of the Spirit than I would for one of those dead mausoleums uptown. And they're adding to it. You say, well, why would they do that? It's dead. Well, the cemetery grows every day.
Wow.
Amen?
Yeah.
I could be content staying right here for the rest of my life just like this. Now, if the Lord adds to it, praise God. I'm going to work toward that. If more people save, more people baptize, church grows, if we build a building, that's wonderful. That's fine. But I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
Amen.
That man right there said it. Why would we want anything else? We got what we've been looking for.
Amen.
Now, so number one, if we are going to live this new and living way, we're going to have to be content with what Christ has done for us, but not be self-satisfied that we would not change if He wanted us to change.
Amen.
Number two, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Jeffrey ain't mad at me about that truck, are you? I didn't say nothing about Chevrolet. I did not put one detrimental remark on Chevrolet. I just thank God I ain't a Ford. First John chapter 3. Look at it with me. Look at verse 17. First John chapter 3. Verse 17. You can't hurt a dead man's feelings. I died a long time ago. Amen. First John chapter 3. Verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If the love of God has been spread abroad in our hearts, we've been saved by the grace of God, the love of God, how can we not have compassion on others who are not content? I don't hate anybody. There's a lot of things I don't like about some people. But I don't hate the people. I hate their sin is killing them. I hate that they don't see that it's killing them. Amen.
Yeah,
this preacher on Facebook today over that tattoo picture I put on, he called me a Pharisee and a hypocrite and a bigot and everything else. Well, I got looking up his Facebook page and he goes to the rock concert, so I just leave it at that. But having compassion on people, wanting to help them to see their way and to see their error, how you going to get saved if you don't know you're lost?
Right. Right.
How you going to get a repentance if nobody points you toward repentance?
Amen. Right.
And I know God loves everybody, and I do, but I have enough compassion on people that I'm just not going to sit by and let them go to hell not say anything. You say, well, you hurt people's feelings. I think it'll hurt their feelings a whole lot worse if they wake up in hell and say, he never told me.
Yeah.
I know it hurts their feelings. It hurt my feelings when they told me.
Yes.
Listen, contentment in him and what he gives us ought to make us compassionate toward others. And that'll lead us to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That charity type of love. That word charity type of love. Meaning the type of love that gives and expects nothing in return. Now, nobody could ever accuse this church of being a stingy church. Never. I mean, we help people all the time. Now, we don't help every bum that stands at the door with their hand out that won't even come in. That's happened many a time over on John Street. I mean, we're not going to enable you to snort coke or shoot up dope or smoke dope. But if you're hungry, we'll give you some groceries. If you're cold, we'll get you a coat. But if you're honestly seeking God and seeking help, we'll help you any way you can that we can. Why? Because we're content with what he's done for us. We know if we can get you to him, you'll be content with what he does too, and you won't need all that help anymore. The reason that they're in the problems that they're in is because they were not content in what they had, so they went looking for something else, and it got them into trouble. And since we're content, it ought to drive us to be more compassionate on them because we used to be in the same position.
Amen.
Jude 24 says, having compassion on some, making a difference. I'm glad people didn't quit witnessing to me.
Yeah.
I'm glad people didn't give up on me. They knew what I was. And they kept on anyway. And I'm sure I offended them sometimes, and I'm sure I hurt their feelings and let them down sometimes. There's one sitting right there, he'll tell you. But I'll tell you this, I'm glad that they were content enough in the salvation that they had that they wanted to keep on sharing it with me till I got it.
Amen.
Now y'all done quit fanning and you're bundling up. Baptist, I wish you was all lukewarm. You're either hot or cold. If Danny wouldn't mess with it, it'd be fine. I'm not content with that. The next one's going to be on the back wall where I don't have to take the credit for messing up. Forgive me, Lord. Love suffereth long.
Yes.
Love covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
And because I'm content with what God's done in my life, what God's doing in my life, and what God's given me in this new life and the way he's directed me in this new and living way, then I ought to have compassion on some other people.
Right.
And by compassion, I mean you love them in spite of them sometimes.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, people get mad at us because we say things like that, but and they call us hypocrites and everything else because we will not support their habits and we will not encourage their addictions and their sins and all these things. And I said something about the LGBTQ sign this morning out there. I think it's a Lutheran church across from Northwestern High School. They got a big banner saying they have meetings there. And I know somebody probably said, well, he hates, you don't want me to use the real word, but LGBT. But I don't hate anybody. I don't hate those people. I feel sorry for people like that. And I want to have compassion on them. But if you're going to get mad at me every time I try to have compassion on you, what can I do? People are stumbling through the world in the way of the world. And Isaiah says the way of the sinner is hard. And they're living hard lives. And I'm over here content saying, hey, come over here and get some of this.
Yes.
Come get some of this. You'll be satisfied. And then they say, well, you're judging me. Well, it's pretty obvious if you can see somebody lost in a snowstorm, they're lost. Amen?
That's right.
I mean, I can spot a dog going down the road and tell you whether or not he's lost, Brother Krauts, can't you?
No.
Yes, sir. Every once in a while you'll be going down through here, you'll see one of those hunting dogs, a beagle. And he'll have his nose to the ground, his tail will be stuck up between his legs. He's lost. He's hunting his master. And that's exactly the way sinners are. And we're being compassionate when we try to tell them about the contentment that God's given us. Now, it's not going to agree with them. I mean, they're going to throw it up. But if you keep giving it to them, eventually they'll get it.
Amen.
I was on an ordination committee, several of them. I was on one of a pastor not far from here. And I was convinced by my pastor that I ought to vote for him, that we make him, you know, ordain him as pastor. A church had already called him and all this stuff, and he's a good guy. He's been good to me. He's always good to me. But he was so stern and so hard. And I said, and I was just a young preacher. And I said, is there anybody that you couldn't witness to? Because I heard it. I said, is there anybody you couldn't witness to? He said, yeah. Now, we're fixing to make this guy pastor. I said, who would that be? He said, queers. He said, they're reprobate. They can't be saved. I said, that ain't in the Bible.
That's right.
That ain't in the Bible. Oh, yeah, Romans chapter 1. I said, no, that's the end of the story. That's not the beginning of that sin. That's the end of that sin. What if they just started? What if it was only one time? I hadn't lost y'all, have I? I mean, we'll have compassion on anybody, even the lowest of the low, because I'm content with what I have. Do I not want them to be content too?
Yes.
Sure I do. My wife, my daughters, and they get car sick from here to the end of the driveway. We rode around about 18 years on old school buses, picking up 30, 40, 50, 60 kids every week from some of the worst places you'd ever want to go. Billy Boatwright told me one time he wouldn't even go with me down that neighborhood if I was anybody else unless he brought his gun. But with me, he didn't feel like he had to have a gun because they loved me. See, I found out if you'll love a drug addict's children, they'll love you even if they don't agree with you. I found out if I go down there to rescue their kids out of that ungodly place where they have to live because of mom and daddy's sin, mom and daddy will treat me fine and they'll love me anyway.
Amen.
Because you have compassion on their children, they'll love you. And we did that for years and years and years and years and years. You don't get a prize for that. Nobody gives you a trophy for that. Oh yeah, yeah, but that ain't why you do it. You do it because you're content and you hope by the grace of God you'll get some of these little children and get them out of that mess for a couple hours a week and they'll find the contentment that you now have and they'll take it home to mom and daddy and maybe mom and daddy will see some of that and they'll want it too. You know, because of the way we preach, because of being fundamentalists and what we believe, we've had people leave out here and say we were bigots and we were racist and we were homophobic and all this stuff, but they don't know us. I used to work with a black man. He accused me of being a racist because I was a fundamental Baptist. He said, "You're racist and you're a bigot." It got me so upset I started crying. I said, "Let me tell you something. Every Sunday, I pick up about 40 or 50 kids and over half of them is black. I take them to Sunday school and I teach them and I take them to children's church and I preach to them and I raise money to take them to camp and I visit them every week. How many kids did you take to church this past Sunday?" I told that to a black man. He never accused me of being a bigot again. But that's what contentment will do. It'll make you have compassion. I always wonder why all these people go to church and say they're content, but then they never share what made them contented.
Amen.
James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now y'all got home in time today, to the Okay Corral or the Country Corral, wherever it was you ate. As the Methodists were leaving, you were coming in. So I'm going to let you out tonight in time to eat you a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Jerry says he eats one every day. James chapter 1, verse 19, if you got it. And then hold your finger there. James chapter 1 verse 19. Hold your finger there and turn to Proverbs 21:5. Proverbs 21:5. Pretty simple preaching. But Jesus said, "Except you become as a little child, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." James chapter 1 verse 19 and then Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 verse 5. We'll start with Proverbs 21. Verse 5, I'm still waiting on you because I cheat. I mark my pages. Because I'm old and I can't remember the books in order half the time. Proverbs 21 verse 5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. But everyone that is hasty only to want." Now, if you will, James chapter 1 verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We ought to be content, we ought to be compassionate, but we ought to be cautious. Now, if anybody's ever failed in this area, you're looking at the guy. My wife tells me all the time, you're impulsive. You do things sometimes without thinking far ahead enough. And I am. I'm impatient. I didn't, I'm a lot better than I used to be. When I was younger, my impatience was terrible. And as you get older, your metabolism, everything slows down. But my patience is better than it used to be, but it still ain't what it ought to be. And so the next word is cautious. We need to have some cautious in our life. Well, to be cautious, not to be filled with the contentment and get sleepy.
Yes.
I told you this morning, I love turkey. Dark meat, mostly. Dark meat. If I get the white meat, it takes a lot of mayonnaise, but I can eat it. I can eat it. It's so dry. I'm same way with chicken. But dark meat, I love it. But they tell me that turkey's got some kind of chemical in it. Don't get fancy on us now. We know you're a nurse and all that stuff. Don't be showing off. It's got some kind of chemical in it, and what it does, it slows your metabolism down, and you go. That's why you ain't never seen the end of a football game on Thanksgiving. Not that I ever have anyway. But if you don't watch out, you'll get so contented during Thanksgiving after you eat. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll be content when we eat and thank God for what He gave us. Amen. Mm-hmm. And it kind of bothers me that they skip Thanksgiving now in our society. You remember it used to be you'd watch TV commercials before Thanksgiving, Food Line, Buy Low, all of them advertise Thanksgiving meals and stuff to go with it. Mm-hmm. How many of you seen this year? I ain't seen any. I went in Walmart months ago. They were putting up Christmas trees.
Yes.
Now they're playing the music.
Yeah.
Now they're playing the music on the radio. Rachel, shut up. The girl's Christmas music crazy. I told that poor girl out at Walmart the other day, I said, they already got that music, those musical trees out there in the gardening section. I went to get some ant killer. I guess ants don't live till Thanksgiving because they're not selling any yard stuff anymore. They're just selling Christmas stuff. And those trees play music. And I looked at her, I said, I feel sorry for you. She said, why? I said, number one, you ain't going to get no Thanksgiving. They done took it away from you. I said, number two, that music. I said, I'd be stark raving mad if I worked in here every day, all day long, and heard that same music over and over and over and over and over. How many times can you ride a red-nosed reindeer sleigh or something? She said, I know. It kills me. But even though we're content with what we have, we should still be cautious, because if you eat that turkey and everything else and you're driving home from grandma's house, you might go to sleep and die content. Amen? Amen. I used to work third shift when I was a younger man, and my wife had to ride beside me after a while and hold. I'd be driving, I'd go to sleep, and she had to shake my arm right here and wake me up. And when I was driving by myself, the Lord had to wake me up. Many times He woke me up. I thought I was dead. But you know why, Brother Mike? You went to sleep because you was content. I'd work third shift. I'd stay up a couple of days. I'd be riding along, roll down the window, stick my head out the window. They say cold would wake you up. And it would, as long as I had my head sticking out the window. But then I'd roll the window up. I wouldn't turn the heat on. I'd go to sleep in the cold in the car. So then I'd turn the heat on, and it'd wake me up for a few minutes. Then it'd put me to sleep. I couldn't do nothing to stay awake. Now, if you get contented enough, if you're not looking out, if you're not cautious, you're going to get killed. And it's the same way in the Christian life. If we don't watch out, we'll get filled with the good things of God, and we'll get sleepy, and we'll lose our compassion, and we'll lose our zeal. And guess what? The buzzards will get you.
There's a buzzard.
The listen. If you ain't on lookout for them.
Yeah.
I don't want to preach that sermon again. The wolves will get you. Amen. They'll get your children. They'll get your family. Look, you cannot just be self-satisfied. You will go to sleep on the Lord. You'll quit everything. You'll lose your blessings. You'll lose all those things God's been blessing you of because you have been awake and on the lookout. You have been compassionate because you have been content with the things God's given you, and then you go to sleep and you're none of those things, and that's when the devil can destroy it. That's a new and living way that we live. Not a new sleepy way.
Right.
It's a new living way. Now, I don't know about you, I'm not cautious enough. My wife tell you that with my driving. Brother Ed, if he could see good, he'd tell you that about my driving. He rides around with me, he can't see what. He don't know those three or four cars almost hit us. But I'm better than I used to be. I am. I mean, I used to drive like a maniac. Worse than people from up north. Yeah, like Belinda. Yeah. You see on Facebook, Belinda was at Kings Mountain, then she was at Black Mountain, and then she was at the Smoky Mountains, and then she was in Asheville, then she was in Tennessee, and now she's eating down here in York, and now she's back at church again. You can't be cautious with all that.
All 10 minutes apart.
Jump out, Clinton. I got to take your picture. Let's go. You think she's cautious? I don't think. I wouldn't ride with her. But all joking aside, the Christian life, we've got to be, and I'm not. I'm too easily, I'm a sucker. People can deceive me very easily because I just want to think the good of people. When they come and say, I want to do this for the church, I want to do this for the Lord, wow, that's wonderful. Let's do it. And then I end up getting hurt when I do that. When I should have stood back and said, well, let me pray about this and let me check you out. We got to be cautious. If you're content and you're compassionate, if you don't watch out, you will not be cautious, and people will hurt you, and they'll steal your joy, and they'll ruin your contentment, and they'll hurt your compassion. And you'll get to the point where you're afraid to be compassionate anymore, and you don't think you'll ever be content again. We gotta be cautious. Not swift to speak, we'll be slow to speak, we'll be slow to do things. I get ahead on things. I really do. Sometimes my wife has to stop me. Sometimes my wife has to slow me down and stop me and say, now wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. And I don't know if any of you like that, but it's hurt me. More than once it's hurt me. So I just want to tell you, after the contentment and the compassion, let's be cautious.
Amen.
Let's be cautious. Let's stand. Father, thank you.